Now we get to worship God by opening up His Word. Today we're going to look at a small book in the New Testament. It's called 1 Thessalonians, so if you need some time to find it, you can flip there now. But, you guys ready? So for the next, 15 minutes, I get to talk. And hopefully it's God speaking through me. But to start this time, I want to open in prayer, okay? So you guys pray with me? God, we thank you that we get to gather together and open your word. Thank you that we can do this openly. Thank you that you have called us to gather together as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, that we get to come together and hear your word, to encourage one another, to build each other up and leave here hopeful in your return, and also leave here equipped to live out our lives you've called us to. Would you speak through me and give us listening hearts and ears today? In Jesus' name, amen. So have you guys ever, changed your style? Maybe it's a haircut change, or you get glasses, or you change your shoes, and you go from, sneakers to dress shoes. Do you guys call them sneakers here? Are they, tennis shoes or tennis shoes? All right. Has anybody ever changed styles? Maybe just a little tweak or, a big thing? You know how when you change a style, people notice, right? When something changes about you, people notice, right? I think in my life, one of the more memorable things in my life with change, physical change, one was when I was told by my eye doctor that I can't wear contacts very much anymore, so I have to wear glasses a lot. I don't like wearing my glasses, but I have to do it. And it was a big change because nobody my entire life ever saw me wearing my glasses. I always wore contacts. But probably the most consistent one was throughout my life, I've had 4 different hairstyles. All right? So from birth through a 4th, maybe into 5th grade, literally I would get up in the morning, I would get dressed, and my mother would comb my hair, right? She would just wet it down and run a comb through it, and I went off to school. And that was my style. There wasn't much style to it, but that was how my hair looked, all right? Then in junior high, I started, this was really cool. It wasn't weird to do this. I just started spiking my hair, so it was you put gel in it and you get out and it's just boom, right? And so I would spike my hair and this was really cool. It worked really well for me for many years, right? And this stayed with me through high school. And then at some point in college, I started doing the faux hawk, all right? So it was even cut so that it blended up and, almost like Pastor Matthews, but a little cooler, I like to think. But that worked well for me, too. And it was the style then, right? And then sometime, maybe 2 years ago, I started doing what the cool people call the comb-over. It's also an old man hairstyle. But, sorry, Daryl. No, but point being, every time that I changed my hairstyle, somebody would notice. And sometimes it was just oh, cool, I like your hair. But sometimes it was the world was going to end or something drastic was going to happen. Oh my goodness, that's what you're doing with your hair now? Holy cow, I don't understand. Why would you do that? I like it. It was just really weird and random. I don't understand why, but I'm also realistic that you guys really don't care about my past hairstyles. But the point of that, the point of the hairstyles, is that when something changes about us, people notice, right? Change is noticeable, especially if we think about change in the sense of it's not really what the world would say is change, or it's not what the world around us is used to, and then it really sticks out, right? Something like a hairstyle change, while it's a big deal to us initially, really in the course of our lives, isn't that big of a deal. But there is a change that occurs in our lives that is a huge deal because that change is something that impacts all of our lives. And if a little change like getting glasses or changing your hairstyle is noticed, this change should be noticed even more. And that change is when you accept Christ and He makes you new. He changes you from the inside out. It's a change that should be noticed, right? So what I want you guys to hear today is being made new is a big deal and people should notice, right? Being made new is a big deal and people should notice. And there's an example of this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. There's 3 guys writing it. The main guy you'll recognize, his name's Paul. And he's writing, not this Paul, but Paul, stop talking. So Paul is writing to the church of Thessalonica. So people living in Thessalonica are called Thessalonians, all right? So the book of Thessalonians is a book written to the people in Thessalonica. Does that make sense? So we're going to read the first chapter. It's really short. It's only 10 verses. But what I want you guys to listen for are ways in which Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are talking about us being made new or being noticeably different when there's a change that matters enough that people take note, all right? It's pretty subtle, but I think you're going to notice it as we read it and then as we talk about it, okay? So if you guys want to follow along, I did get an ESV Bible this week, so if you have your ESV Bible, I'll be reading from that one, but the NIV is just as good, and so is other translations of the Bible, because it's still God's word, all right? So we're going to read 1 Thessalonians. It starts with some really weird names. Paul and Timothy is not a weird name, but Silvanus is a weird name. I've never met a Silvanus. But they write, and they say, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. Do you guys remember Pastor Matthew started his sermon by talking about the letter and how Paul always started with grace and peace in Christ? You guys paying attention? Maybe I just heard that because I read this a lot this week. Anyway, so they go on. They say, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned from God to idols to serve the living true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from wrath to come. So Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are writing this letter to the church that they started in large part because they went there and told people about Jesus. They went and they said, this is the gospel. We are sinners. We need Jesus. Jesus died on a cross to forgive us of our sins, and he rose from the dead so that we someday will be forgiven and risen from the dead and get to spend forever with him. And they go and they preach this, but they don't even just preach it. They start to live it out. They live in a way in which people notice there's something different about them. And guess what happened? Does anybody know what happened when Paul and Silvanus and Timothy started living this out and talking about Jesus to the Thessalonians? People noticed a change. And people were curious, and they started listening, they started gathering together, and they started talking, and guess what then formed? Churches. And Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are writing a letter back to the church that because of the life that they lived, they got to start. They didn't stay there. They didn't start the church, but they were able to form this body of believers based on the gospel. So there are four things in this passage. When we talk about change and being noticed, there's four things in this passage that I think we need to take note of. It's not the only four things about walking with Jesus that we need to know, but in this specific passage for today, there are four things that I want us to grasp, okay? So four short things. The first one being that those who are made new accept the gospel. Those who are made new accept the gospel. In verses 4 and 5, right, Paul and Timothy and Silvanus write, for we know, brothers loved by God, that he chose you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in the power and in the Holy Spirit, with full conviction. You know what men we proved to be among you for your sake. So they... The gospel, our gospel, came to you. Their gospel is the gospel. It comes from Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. The gospel, at its very core, its very basic sense, is that we are in need of forgiveness. We are in need of a Savior, right? Is anybody in here perfect? No. So we all in here can admit that we need a Savior. We all need help. And the gospel says Jesus is that help. He died on the cross so that we get that help, so that we can spend forever with him. That is the gospel in a very brief nutshell. And what Paul and his friends start with was, hey, if you're going to be made new, you have to accept this. It is the only way to heaven. It is the only way to God. It is the only truth that actually matters. And to be made new, you accept what Christ did for you. And that's the start of the change that is so noticeable. This is the start of that being made new, that big change that people should notice. They should notice the fact that you are made new in Christ more than they notice your change of shoes. All right? So let's move on. So we've accepted the gospel. The gospel is the foundation of the Christian. Guess what else it's the foundation of? The gospel is the foundation of church done differently. The gospel is the foundation of the church done like we're looking at in the Bible. Because the church is not a building. Does anybody know what the church actually is? Us. Those of us who follow Jesus and live for Jesus. We are the church. And if the foundation of our lives is the gospel, then the foundation of the church is the gospel. Does that make sense? So we're going to build off of this foundation. The foundation for your life is the gospel. The foundation for the church is the gospel. And by foundation, in a house, when you build a foundation, when you build a house, you start with the foundation. That's the rock, the cement, the thing that never changes and doesn't move. And then you build everything else on top of that because that is how the house stays standing, even when storms come. It stays standing because of its foundation. And if our foundation is Jesus, then what we're about to say and talk about just naturally comes, and it's naturally part of the house, the life that we build. Because everything that we do should be influenced by the gospel. All right? So the thing that Paul and Silvanus and Timothy talk about, right in verse 2, they start off, and they say, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers." Now, constantly could be a daily thing. It could be an hourly thing. It could be a weekly thing. But what I want you guys to realize is that they're saying when you are made new, you pray for one another, right? This isn't like a be super holy and be praying all the time type of thing. It's, have you guys ever been really mad at somebody and tried to pray for them? It's really hard. But guess what happens when you start praying for people? It changes the way that you look at them. It changes the way you feel about them. Because when you are, like, this is why Jesus tells us to pray for our enemies. Right? When you are praying for somebody and you're truly praying for them, you're praying God's blessings upon them, you're praying that they would know Jesus, that's going to change the way you see them and the way you feel about them, and it's going to be a change that people notice. Prayer is just a form of caring for people, right? It's a form of encouraging people. And as you pray for somebody, maybe they don't know specifically that you're praying for them, but they're going to start to notice the change in your attitude and in your heart towards them. Right? So this is one way that this being made new is noticeable, because people notice there's something different about you. There's something different even in how you interact with people at school, at home, at church, in the shopping places. I don't know. I was going to say grocery stores, but we don't really go to grocery stores, do we? That's for our parents. You go to grocery stores? Okay. All right, in the grocery store. Anyway, so we pray for one another. So the gospel, we accept the gospel. We're starting to be made new. Part of that continuation, like I said, the gospel, accepting the gospel is the start. Part of the continuation happens when we start praying for one another, because it really starts to change our hearts towards other people and we start to become aware of their need for Jesus. Third, we live noticeably different than the world around us. It starts with Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy in verses 5 and 6 when they say, "And you became imitators of us and of our Lord." So Thessalonians see the life that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are living in Thessalonica, right? The life that they're living, the choices that they're making, the things that they're doing, the things that they're not doing, the way that they're caring for those around them, right? It's not just in their words that they're living out Jesus, it's in their actions too. And it's as they do this that people have been attracted to what they were saying about Jesus, and people accept Jesus. So Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy live this life that's different. But then check this out. The people that were attracted to these three guys, start doing the same thing. And instead of it being like this little house church that starts, their lives, their actions, their words change their communities around them, right? It says that they became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. That's the communities around them, right? But then it goes on and it says that it was sounded out to everywhere, meaning the places, like the communities that they lived in were changed, the communities beside them were changed, and the communities beside them were changed, all because of the way that these people lived and talked and let Christ make them new. Right? So when we start talking about being made new and we start talking about Jesus and putting off ourselves and putting on Christ like we talked about last week, there's some things that come out of that. And one of those things is that we're just radically different. We're more radically loving. We're more radically caring than anybody or any other thing in this world around us because we are showing the love of Christ to those around us. All right, so we're living differently. So we accept the gospel, we're praying for each other, we live noticeably differently because of the gospel, and then finally, our hope is not in this world. Right? They end their letter by talking about the hope that these people were living for. The fact that Christ is going to return and is going to be victorious over the dark evilness of this world. Right? In verses 9 and 10, they write, "You turned to God from idols to serve the one true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead and who delivers us from wrath to come." Right? Think about this. This same hope applies to us today. All right? So the God who made you leaves heaven and dies for you. He goes back up to heaven and he's sitting there with the Father saying, "Hey, this guy right here, I love him. I died for him. I want him here in heaven with us. I care about him. I'm praying for him to you. Would you help him? Would you be there for him?" He's in heaven doing that for you guys right now. He's cheering you on. And then we are told that at the end of either our lives or at the end of the world, Jesus comes back. Jesus returns and he wins. So like no matter how bad of a day you're having, if you think about it in the context of, you know what, Jesus is coming back and I win, it kind of changes our definition of a bad day, doesn't it? It does for me. And this is all built on the hope that we have in the gospel. When we let Jesus transform us, we live life differently and people notice. Being made new is a big thing and people should notice. Your challenge this week is to live out this big thing, live out being made new, and see how many people notice. It's the foundation of your life. It's the foundation of the church. And as you live this out, everything changes. Family dynamics change. School dynamics change. Sports, music, all of that stuff changes. Even church changes. And that's the premise of this series, Church Done Differently. And it's not like it's some new agey, awesome, new, brand new way to do church. It's simply saying, this is what the Bible says is true and right. And we know we have found that everything that the Bible says is actually true and right when you actually live it out. And so let's challenge ourselves to actually do that. And we're going to experience church done differently because of the gospel and because we are transformed. You guys have any questions? All right. So we have like 2 minutes. I want to end by saying, all right. One, if you are here and you don't know if you are made new, if you are here and you don't know that you are transformed, do not leave here without talking to me or Daryl or Ben. Are there any other leaders in this room? Would you guys raise your hands? Just real quick. These guys are leaders. So, like, if you don't know that you know Jesus, that you are made new, please talk to one of us before you leave. All right. We would love to talk with you and pray with you. But also, in light of Pastor Steve's passing, whether you want to talk about that or pray about that or just talk about the lesson or talk about life, whatever it is, the staff, me, Justin, Jess, Tracy, the leaders, we're all here. We're all going to hang out. We want to give you a chance to just come talk to us, ask questions, be angry, whatever it is you need to do to process this stuff. We want to be here for you. So I'm going to close us in prayer. You guys are free to go play games. Don't forget to catch the shuttle. And then please come find one of us before you leave if you need to talk, all right? So let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for life. Thank you for sunshine. Thank you for the fall season. Thank you for the changing of seasons. Thank you that we live in a country where we get to walk outside and enjoy the beauty of your creation and attribute it to you openly, knowing that you made all things. God, we thank you for making us new. We thank you for the way that you have called us to do this together and not alone. And I pray that as we leave here, you would help us to be aware of living this faith thing out loud. God, I pray that our out loud would not be a whisper, but it would be louder than a clap of thunder, and that it would wake people up around us to see their need for you. Go before us this week. Help us to live for you and honor you in all we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, talk to you guys soon. Have a great week.